Demonstrators shouting "Red Tide Rick" at Florida Republican Governor Rick Scott earlier this week in Venice, Florida. They blame Scott, who is also running for a Senate seat this year, for the toxic algae bloom along the state's west coast that's lasted much longer than usual and has been blamed for killing marine life, posing a health risk to people, and costing the state millions of dollars. Blue-green algae, the freshwater version of red tide, is also a problem in many lakes and ponds across the country, and health officials only know the basics about what's causing the outbreaks. But researchers at the University of Kansas are trying to unravel the mystery by growing their own algae. Brian Grimmett from Kansas News Service reports.
7 years ago, a toxic form of algae bloomed in Milford Lake near Junction City, Kansas. No one had seen anything quite like it. The bloom lasted for almost 3 months. And it's returned every summer since. The event set state scientists looking for what spurred the blue-green algae, called cyanobacteria, and how to stop the return of what is essentially killer pond scum.
Throughout the years, we're trying to figure out what got Milford going, and that seems to be a million-dollar question.
That's Trevor Flynn. He oversees water quality monitoring for the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. Each summer since the Milford Lake bloom, the department has confirmed cases of toxic blue-green algae in dozens of lakes and ponds across Kansas. The blooms aren't just a nuisance because they look gross. Coming in contact with one can get people sick. Common symptoms include diarrhea, vomiting, and hives. For animals, the blooms can be deadly.
So that's a real detriment to not only the water quality, but for the enjoyment of the people wanting to use it for recreation.
The culprit is too many nutrients, like nitrogen and phosphorus, that get into the water system when heavy rains wash fertilizer off farm fields. But that's about as much as we know, for now at least. About 10 miles northeast of the University of Kansas campus in Lawrence, down a long dirt road, sits a University of Kansas field station. It's 3,400 acres and includes about 100 man-made ponds. University of Kansas biologist Ted Harris takes me to one. He's trying to get algae to grow in several large round fiberglass tanks dropped into the middle of the pond.
They're about 10 feet in diameter and then 6 feet deep. But here, we can go check it out.
As we walk down one of two narrow docks that reach into the middle of the pond, Harris explains that researchers generally know why the blooms happen, but they don't know why some blooms are full of toxic cyanobacteria and others aren't.
The goal of this is to see if there's any definitive different sorts of nutrients or proportions of nitrogen and phosphorus that lead specifically to toxic blooms.
So Harris and his team added different combinations of nutrients to the tanks. Some got phosphorus, some got nitrogen, and others get both.
You can see right here on the duct tape, it's got a tank number, but then it's also got three letters. And that's the sort of treatment.
Harris says when the experiment got underway, the water in the tanks was clear. After 17 days of adding nutrients, algae started to grow.
You can see here's a control, so no nutrients added to this one. Looks like you can drink that water. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, but right, it looks, if you look between this one where we've added ammonium and phosphorus, and this one as a control, really big noticeable difference.
What's harder to notice, especially for non-scientists, is telling a dangerous type of algae from a harmless one.
So is this tank, is this cyanobacteria here?
This is cyanobacteria here.
Because when I look at it, I'd look at this and go, yeah, that looks like...
Oh, you don't want to get in that. Yeah. And this is a cyanobacteria bloom. And so you can just see a little bit of color differentiation. But if you're the average person, you go, I don't know, it looks like pond scum to me, right? So that's why it's always, if you see these big blooms, stay away from them just to be safe.
Algal bloom experiments on this scale have not been done before. Usually they take place in a lab inside of a fish tank. But Harris says that setting doesn't provide the natural sunlight, wind, pollen, and rain found in the real world.
This is realistic of what we're going to see if a big inflow event comes with a lot of nitrate or a lot of ammonia, or a lot of phosphorus, or maybe some combination of those. And this is what would happen in sort of repeated rain events, which is what we get, well, usually, not this year, but usually every spring.
Ultimately, Harris says if health officials and water managers can better understand what real-world factors cause toxic blooms, perhaps they can stop them from happening in the first place. For Here Now, I'm Brian Grimmett in Lawrence, Kansas.